وعليكم سلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your khidmat for his beautiful deen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Am hasiba alladhina ijtarahu as-sayyi'at an naj'alahum kalladhina amanu wa 'amilu as-salihat sawa'un mahyahum wa mamatuhum sa'a ma yahkumun. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, we continue with a brief lives of the various Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and we are going to be discussing this morning Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu ta'ala an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regard to him, أَقْرَأُهُمْ Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay ibn Ka'b is the greatest reader, Qari of the Ummah. Acting under the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the entire Surah Al-Bayyinah to him. Some of his profound statements, he said, adhere firmly to the ways and sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hellfire will not touch the person who is on the sunnah and whose eyes well with tears out of Allah's fear when his name is mentioned before him. Remain steadfast on the sunnah, and crying out of Allah's fear are certainly great bounties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us all to acquire these qualities. Ameen. When a person who gives up a thing for Allah's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala bestows him with something priceless and unimaginable. He used to complete the Quran in 3 nights. He used to set aside 1/3 of the night for salat and salam, salutations and durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away in Medina Munawwara in some say 19th year of Hijri or the 32nd year of Hijri, and he was buried there. May Allah Ta'ala illuminate his grave. Now we discuss Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. He was the special attendant, the khadim e khas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ever since he arrived in Medina Munawwara, he remained the attendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world. His mother presented him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his service. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for 4 things for him. Allahumma akthir malahu wa waladahu wa atin umrahu wa aghfir dhanbah. O Allah, increase his wealth and offspring, give him long life and forgive his sins. As a result of this dua, while the trees of others would bear fruit once a year, his trees would bear fruit twice a year. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with many children to the extent that 120 sons and daughters passed away in his very lifetime. He was given such a long lifespan that he himself would say, I am now tired with life And I hope in the acceptance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua of forgiveness for me. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to relate, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's manner of performing salah was very similar to that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was his practice to occupy himself in optional salah after the Maghrib salah. And no one could get to him during this time. He used to speak and converse very little. Whenever he was about to complete the recitation of the entire Quran, he would gather his family and children, complete the Quran, and make dua with all of them present there. This is a lesson for us that we should also make it a point in our lives that when we are completing the khatam of the Quran, then we call our family and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He lived to the age of 99. He passed away in the year 91 Hijri. Some historians say it was the year 103 Hijri. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. The other sahabi we're going to be discussing this morning is Hazrat Sayyidina Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an. When he presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to embrace Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Why have you come?" He replied, "In order to embrace Islam." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread out his sheet for him so that he could sit on it and address the Muslim, saying, "When a respected person of your community comes to you, you must accord him respect." Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu then extended his hand to embrace Islam and said, "I pledge bay'ah on Islam." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his hand and said, "You must desire the well-being of every Muslim. Allah ta'ala does not show mercy to the person who does not show mercy to his fellow humans." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the pledge of bay'ah from him on the following occasion, conditions: worshipping Allah ta'ala alone without ascribing any partners to him, performing the compulsory salahs, paying the compulsory zakah, desiring good for every Muslim, and distancing oneself from the unbelievers. He embraced Islam 40 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to accord him a lot of respect. He never stopped him from presenting himself to him ever since he embraced Islam. He would always meet him with a smile. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regard to him, "Iza atakum karimu qawmin fa'akrimuh." When a respected and noble person of a community comes to you, you must accord him respect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him as his envoy to Dhi Qilah and Dhi Ra'in. He was also given the task of destroying the temple of Dhil Khilsa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the following dua in his favor when he was dispatching him: "Allahumma thabbithu waj'alhu hadiyan mahdiya." O Allah, keep him firm, making him a source of guidance and one whose guidance is followed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, "Ma zilta sayyidan fil jahiliyyati wal Islam." You are a leader in jahiliyyah and in Islam as well. Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "It is better to be dumb than to be enchanting. Dumbness is better than lewd talk." He passed away in the 54th year of Hijri. Hazrat Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala is another sahabi we'll be discussing this morning. His name is Salman and his kunyat is Abu Abdullah. He was from Faris, Persia, and is therefore known as Farsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased him and freed him. And so he is his freed slave. He is included amongst the senior sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He is aligned to Hazrat Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an in spiritual knowledge. He is from the famous Persian family of Ram Harmuz, who were Magians and they were fire worshippers. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala an was in search of the truth from an early age. In his quest for the truth, he embraced Christianity. Consequently, his father and relatives used to impose tortures and torments on him. He bore all these hardships but refused to renounce Christianity. He left his country and went to Sham. Some people took him to Medina Munawara and sold him to a Jew. And so he had to live the life of a slave. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emigrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, he presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he entered the fold of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regard to him, Salman is from amongst the dwellers of paradise. He is one of those for whom paradise is yearning and waiting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if Iman was on the Thuraya, the stars, there will certainly be those who will acquire it. He was referring to Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an used to say, there are three things which sadden me and make me cry. Separation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Thinking of the punishment of the grave. Thinking about the scene on the day of resurrection. We must also cry when we think of these things. What are those things? Separation from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, thinking of the punishment of the grave, and thinking about the scene on the day of resurrection. These golden words of advice. A person came to him and asked him for advice. He said, "Do not speak." So the person asked, "How is this possible while I am living amongst the people?" He said, "If you have to speak, then speak what is correct and appropriate." So the person said, "Give me some other advice." He said, "Do not become angry." So the person said, "When I become angry, I lose control of myself." So he said, "Keep your hands and tongue in check." The person said, "Give me more advice." He said, "Do not intermingle with people." The person said, "How is it possible not to intermingle with people?" He said, "If you have to meet them and intermingle with them, be honest in your speech and fulfill all trust." Glory be to Allah. What great words of advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us a tawfiq to act upon it. He was the governor of Madain and received a salary of 5,000 dirhams. He ruled approximately 30,000 Muslims, but he would deliver his sermon while wearing the same cloak over and over again. He would see to the needs of his family from the earnings of his own hands. He did not own a house, and so he would live wherever he found shelter. When he sent his servant out on an errand, he would make the dough on his behalf and say, "I cannot impose on him to carry out two tasks." He used to make straw mats from palm leaves and say, "I purchase palm leaves for 1 dirham, make different items from them, and sell them for 3 dirhams. From these 3 dirhams, I set aside one for my work, one for my family, and one for charity." And probably based on this year, as a governor, whatever salary he may have received, it is probable that he gave that also out all in charity. On seeing his poor and lowly condition, people used to summon him to carry their goods for him. So at times, in the midst of carrying their goods, they would recognize who he really was and ask him to remove the goods from his head. He would reply, "No, no, no. I will convey to your destination." All this happened while he was the governor of Madain. He used to say, "The example of a believer in this world is like a sick person who has his doctor at his side and who has full knowledge of his illness and the manner of treatment. When the sick person expresses the desire to have something which will be detrimental to his health, the doctor refuses him and says to him that it will destroy him. So Allah Ta'ala prohibits his believing servants from desires and passions in the same way. They continue abstaining until the death and are then admitted into paradise." One of his statements is as follows: "I'm astonished at the person who is engrossed in having many high hopes in this world while death is seeking him." Listen to this again. "I'm astonished at the person who is engrossed in having many high hopes in this world while death is seeking him. I'm also astonished at the person who is overcome by heedlessness of the hereafter, while one cannot be heedless of the hereafter. I am also astonished at the person who laughs while he does not know whether his Allah is pleased with him or not. I am also astonished at the person who laughs while he does not know whether his Allah is pleased with him or not." He lived a very, very long lifespan, and the historians say that he lived for 250 years, And he passed away during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of listening to the advices of these great Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and also emulate them in following their footsteps. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.